Hello, welcome to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. This episode contains spoilers for scenario number 15, scenario number 91, and scenario number 51. This episode also contains spoilers for class number 8, class number 12, class number 13, and class number 14. Please enjoy responsibly. So there we were, saving the world, actually, and it felt pretty good. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Misadventures. We'll actually be wrapping up the main campaign tonight, so this could be one of the last episodes of Misadventures. So,
Skip, you going to be okay?
Yeah.
We'll talk about afterwards.
definitely want to thank you guys for coming along this ride with us, and I'm sure we'll have a few pieces of follow-up content. But, tonight we will be wrapping things up, so let's kick it off. As always, we'll go around the room introducing everybody. I'm Casey. I'm playing Zara the Berserker.
I'm Garrett. I'm playing Herd Nerfer the Scoundrel.
This is Skip. I will be missing my Maytal the Quattro Soothsinger after this one.
And I'm Steve, playing as the Quartermaster Brittany.
So yeah, guys. We've already gotten to the point where we can go do the final mission, right? But we're trying to milk it out a little bit. So there's a few other kind of side scenarios that we could go do.
Technically, we had one side scenario, and then we had a city event.
A surprise road scenario. Event. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget where that one came from. It really just going to throw a whole wrench into this whole thing.
Oh, it was the best wrench it possibly could.
Yeah. It was the Beast Tyrant, wasn't it?
Yeah, we'll get to that after.
Yeah, that yeah scenario, we'll though. Get to that. But anyway, one of the things that at least I was taking some solace in was like, this is a really good time to end things. We're all level 9. We've all been playing our characters for a while. We've gotten just about as much out of this as we can get. So it's a good time to wrap things up. But yeah, we've had this scenario of Shrine of Strength to do for a while. So let's go ahead and let's just get it out of the way, see what it's all about. We definitely have enough time in the evening to get a few in. So.
Yeah, this is scenario 15, so it's been hanging around.
Yeah, we had a chance to get it earlier, and we chose something else, and so we kind of come back around to it. So it's 5 different rooms, goals to loot treasure tiles, stone golems, Savas ice storms, which we didn't really see a lot of Savas throughout the whole campaign. It's probably for the best, if we're being honest. Frost demons, wind demons, harrower infestors. So, we're just kind of coming here for no particular reason, just to see what it's got to offer. So, first room, 2 normal stone golems and the elite Savas ice storm, which previous week we had some success by throwing the scoundrel at the back of the room to kill things. Seemed like that needed to be done again here because Savas are real good at summoning things, and that needed to not happen.
And Brittany has her constant Savas phobia. So,
yeah.
Well, and I want to point out that this scenario was a loot the treasure tile. So, like, if this wasn't what we knew was going to be our last session, this could have just been a, like, one turn, I'm in the back of the room, got the tile, and we're done, you know?
Well, he couldn't remember because all the pressure plates you got to hit.
Oh, yes.
So that slows us down.
Which, by the way, we actually did more than we needed to on those.
Did we?
We only had to hit 3 of them. I was reading through the rules when I was doing the notes for this, and for 4 characters, the plates D, E, and F must be occupied. So we did more than we needed to because we're programmed like that.
Also, I'm pretty sure what happened on that is I saw a bunch of those symbols and I was like, oh, I know what it says, and we have to hit all 4 and then didn't actually read it.
That shit was fine. It's like one less, and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. It actually made the scenario a little more interesting because it took a little bit of coordination to time all that up because you had to end the round there. So
you still had to wait on your soothsinger to actually make it to one of the plates.
True. You did fine. You were with Herd. It was a good time.
But anyway, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
Even with my new stuff, it took forever.
But yeah, Rocket Squad jumped to the end of the first room to start wailing on a Savas.
Yeah, which I'm sure everybody knows by now, but that is Brittany and Herd. And then,
we have like a little, like a rocket boot, little handshake high five thing we do.
Yep. Just midair. It's pretty cool.
We thrust away from each other. Sounded good. More suggestive than I meant it, but yeah, let's go with it.
So yeah, you guys take him down pretty quickly. Zarin Maytal focus one of the golems because golems have a lot of hit points. So we'll go ahead and tear one of those down. And then I think Brittany came back to help us out while
Herd
can't go backwards. It's impossible. So
right. Yeah. It's like the first Mario. Like she can only go one direction. She doesn't live in the past.
Nope.
I'm not in a big time rush. I reused it.
So room two, which Herd again kind of sees before we do, two frost demons, two elite wind demons, and another normal Savas. And this one, okay, so there's a pressure plate in the center of the room surrounded by demons. And then hitting that opened the doors to the other pressure plate. So that there's two pressure plates in separate rooms. So two rooms holding two pressure plates apiece, and you had to get on this pressure plate surrounded by demons to open those. So.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure you, like, Herd got on the plate and did her little damage everything around her attack.
Yeah,
that's kind of the only attack I do anymore.
I mean, it's pretty nice.
Yeah. Well, that one also disarms, right? Or you went invisible or something. You did something, so it didn't really matter. And the nice thing about that is you went ahead and opened the doors, and there was things in those rooms, but they're kind of far back, and so that let them kind of move towards us a bit.
Yeah. But yeah, we finished off those stone golems in the first room and caught up.
Yep. Yeah, we caught up.
There's that Savas Ice Storm again, which Brittany is just like auto-targeting.
Yeah, she auto-targets that. And again, the rest of us kind of focus in on the demons. The demons, because of their setup, weren't too bad with two of them being normal. The normal ones had the most hit points, and then the wind demons, we were able to kind of work around their difficulties pretty quickly with some pretty big hits. So
I mean, it was just a couple turns, because I'm pretty sure we started getting into those side rooms before the baddies came out.
Yep. We did, yeah. They came up a little bit.
Yeah.
All this talk about, you know, demons, it's always just demons, and it's this game is gloomy. I mean, that sounds like a stupid pun, but it's a depressing world, right? And it made me think about how Scythe just did, like, the My Little Pony Scythe, right? Like, what about My Little Gloomhaven?
Oh, my.
Like, everything's purple and happy, and yeah.
Can I kick you out of the thing you're hosting? Is that
you can just kick me at work tomorrow? It's fine.
All right, all
that's right. Fair. So we split up. Brittany and Zara went to the southern room, and then the other two guys went to the northern room. And it was
okay. They're kind of identical rooms, right?
Yeah. They are. Each one had an Harrower Infestor that was elite, one that was normal, and then a normal stone golem. And then there's. The annoying thing is there's traps blocking both the plates, and so
which is fine. Zara can't jump.
Yeah, Zara can't jump. She doesn't do
even
that,
after all so. This time. She hasn't gotten around to learning how to jump. Like, come on.
So
you just brute force that trap.
I did. So the thing is, though, they had like wound and poison and stuff on them as well as the damage. It was kind of annoying, but yeah, I just kind of brute force the trap. But that also like. It seemed like all of us had some sort of small difficulty, whether it was like a timing issue or having to hit a trap or something that like,
you know, trying to hit all the pressure plates
without wasting turns.
I loved getting on the my pressure plate and then having like the 16th chapter of that debate about whether or not monsters would get on traps with you. That is my one major disability in this game, is understanding that monsters will in fact not go to traps unless everyone is behind them.
Maybe that's the app Skip should have made. It's just, will the monster go on the trap, and you tap it and it just says no, like every time. Just
like it doesn't actually take any input. It's
no,
just like,
it just says no.
That was stupid. Duh.
Yeah, that could have been pretty easily made. Or it could have just been understood that no, they don't, and we could stop asking.
I think we've proven that cannot be understood.
Yeah. kind of like Tots can't remember that monsters don't move unless they say to move.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. I should never be in charge of any creature cards.
But we all found our plates after killing our various enemies.
And then those plates opened up another room with the treasure tile in it and two elite
stone golems. Which we I'd say we ignored. Tots ignored them, and the rest of us just kind of didn't get there in time.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure I left my pressure plate. because I jumped over the tile or the trout.
Oh yeah, and you had to cycle your cards to get your jump back.
Yeah, yeah. And we all knew what was going to happen. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got some XP and some stuff we won't spoil for people in there. So you know, it was a fine scenario, but nothing too special. But so yeah, I guess before we go into the next scenario, we should probably focus on what's cooking for this week.
Ah, yes. This week, as it was our final Gloomhaven session. Oh, I hate you so much.
I think I know something.
He put a furry picture up in the other notes right underneath the food notes.
Good. Good.
And it was like his pants were hanging down over his ass and
I don't have that.
That's yeah, so I deleted it pretty quickly.
Get rid of it.
Good.
Right there.
I can email it to you. No, it's back. There we go.
Yeah, there it is.
Good.
Not even well drawn.
It's really bad.
All right, ready? We're back to what's ready. Cooking?
What's cooking?
This is your edit mark.
Yeah.
Right, so this week, since this was our last week of Gloomhaven, I wanted to do something a little nicer, a little fancier. So we had roast beef with roasted potatoes and a salad with a homemade raspberry vinaigrette.
As awesome as all of this delicious. Was, that salad was amazing.
I was really just trying to get one of you into bed. Didn't work.
I'm pretty sure we've all offered at this point at various points of you cooking. So,
well, then it is very heavily veiled, sir.
Yeah. All right.
Steve just can't take a hint.
Yeah, that's cool.
Clearly not.
but Skip followed up with a pretty awesome dessert.
Yeah, he did.
Skip.
Yeah, it was a first attempt, like pretty much every other one, which was a chocolate lava cake. And I did it ahead of time, but obviously with lava cakes, you really need to do it right there because it hardened up and the lava.
Yeah,
the liquid chocolate wasn't there anymore, basically.
Like it set, but it was still like a really good chocolate cake. Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't liquid, but all of the flavor didn't leave. Like it's still at the party, so
yeah,
it was fantastic.
It was lots of chocolate, lots of chocolate
super,
cake.
There you go. Super good.
Are you still looking at doing the cookbook?
Me?
Yeah.
Or my wife is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But it's not just a dessert thing. I might throw some of my desserts in there if she'll let me, but it's probably just hers. She doesn't play well with others.
I don't know, man. Those gooey lemon butter bars.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Was that her recipe or yours?
Nope. That was mine.
Oh, yeah. Mm. That better make it in there.
Mm.
Oh yeah!
I will firebomb your house if it does. Oh!
Okay.
So that was our delicious meals. It was very good.
Yeah. Then we moved on to scenario 91.
Yeah.
Which Wild this. Melee.
Yeah. Here's the thing. So we got a road event from the Beast Tyrant, and which like we always, except for the sort, except for the Spellweaver, for whatever reason, like anytime we get these city events or road events from previous characters, we go ahead and go out of our way and help them out because they're bros.
Right.
And so we're like, you know what? Yeah, we'll go help the Beast Tyrant out right before we wrap all this up. And
turns out the Beast Tyrant was looking out for one of our team too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, it was great.
Now, before we get into this, I want to talk about a little something we used in this final session.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And the reason we only used them for this final session was just timing. So these guys reached out to us at Printed, printedbournemouth.co.uk. The link will be on our website at misadventurespodcast.com, and I'll also tweet it out at GPub Radio and our Facebook. But so these guys have a 3D printing business. They make all kinds of crazy junk. They make custom stuff as well. But for this particular thing, they're like, hey, we've made some Gloomhaven creature standees, and we would love to get like your opinion on them and see what you think. And so he sent those, and they came from Great Britain. Took a little while to get here because of that, because we record several weeks in advance. Like what you're hearing happened, you know, a while ago by the time you hear it. And so it just timed out perfectly to where they got here in time for our last scenario. Talk about these real quick. There's 27 of them. they're split 18 and 9 for like commons and
elites.
Elites, thank you. You can pick whatever colors you want. We went with the standard white and gold. Really pretty. And I don't know what they did with the 3D print. Steve might be able to explain that a little bit more, but like it was way better quality than I was anticipating. A lot of 3D printed stuff I've seen is okay. But these felt like they would actually hold up. And they hold, so they'll hold your monster standee. They'll hold two small dice. They're there's a particular name for that kind of die. And 12 millimeter dice.
Yep.
10 millimeters fit as well.
It's got some slots for like status effects as well.
Yes, and that's the real hero, by the way. We found that we didn't really use the die for like the counting because we already had ways of doing that. Right. Well, we have HP die.
Right. The big thing with that, though, I think, is earlier in the game when you're fighting lower level monsters, that'll definitely be useful. But like later in the game, you're fighting things that get up into like the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
And it's just like you can't get that high with just two little dice.
Well, and Casey's gigantic hands can't work like these little, you know.
they couldn't, man. I'd go in there to move them and I'm knocking over the pieces. Yeah. And it was just those were a little bit of a pain, but I did really like having the status effects on there because then you're having to do less translation between like, okay, that's like numbers one and three were stunned. Okay, which ones are numbers one and three? You can just look out there. Mm-hmm. The other issue I had with the tracking the health there was really it was more of our setup. So the way we always do it is we hand character sleeves or enemy sleeves out to everybody. So everybody's got one or two enemies they're keeping track of. Mm-hmm. With those, it was basically me or like whoever the enemies were closest to were taking care of all the hit points while thinking. So it was like there was less division of labor there. And it was just a little bit more upkeep for one person to kind of track all that. But
one of the things I was thinking about with that actually is like on the higher level enemies that have too much health to actually track, you could actually use that as a numbering system to be like, hey, this is enemy number three or four or whatever. Cause there were tons of times where like we're trying to see what the card says for the enemy number and we couldn't see it at that angle or something like that.
Oh that's yeah. True. I see what you're saying. That's true. Also I didn't say, but these are, you know, they're hexagons and they fit perfectly in the squares, which is nice. It felt good.
But being able to like see which enemies kind of had those status effects was probably the biggest benefit. So you didn't have to look at them and then jump back to the card and.
Yep.
Yeah.
We did get these for free. We went ahead and actually I sent our feedback back to these guys a little while ago. A pack of these, though, for the 27, the 18 and 9 runs you 1968 U.S. I don't know about shipping, but
which for the quality is actually a good deal.
Yeah, they are fantastically made.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable price. I've definitely seen like custom printed stuff that was much worse.
Yeah, and I also think. Some of the, you know, the one issue we kind of had was the tracking health. If you're still early levels, those are going to work fine for that.
Yep.
Also, if you are playing with less than four players, they're going to work better too because you've just got less of them out there to kind of have to fiddle with.
Yep. Something else about these guys too, the printed guys, they have a Twitch stream going 24/7 that's just like showing all their different printers just printing whatever they're printing. They have multiple printers and that's actually kind of nice.
I'm assuming they make other products as well.
They do. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, they have a lot of, if you just go to their shop, they have all kinds of just different random things. They have the Gloomhaven pieces, like 3D printed Minecraft guys and like, you know, cars and cookie cutters and the kind of stuff you usually see coming out of 3D printed stuff.
Sure.
But they also just have get a quote like, hey, do you have a CAD or an STL file? You want it printed? Send it to us. We'll tell you what it's going to cost.
Nice. So yeah, I would, even if, you know, for whatever reason you think, oh, these Gloomhaven standees don't sound like my thing. Like, again, they're very high quality pieces. So I would definitely check out their site to see if there's anything else in the line that you could use.
You know, one thing we didn't mention too, that I thought of earlier today, is these standees, they're just tight enough to grip them, but they're not so tight that they like smush the bottom of the cardboard out. Right.
Yeah.
Because we definitely had a lot of like degradation of our pieces as the months went along. And I think that wouldn't have been so bad with these.
I agree.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you so much to the guys that printed it. Again, it's printed bournemouth.co.uk. links will be on all of our socials and the website. Real cool stuff. Wish we'd had more than one session with him, but still a really cool thing. And I guess now back to session 91, Wild Melee.
Yeah. So yeah, we're just going to Wild Melee, and we're gonna help our Beast Tyrant friend out. But yeah, here's the deal.
He was telling us like there was a group of jerks who were basically screwing up nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is our Captain Planet mission.
He was the good Beast Tyrant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Tot, you've been trying to retire your scoundrel for decades now.
Literal months. Yeah.
What was your goal?
My goal was to kill 20 cultists / bandits.
And you still had like
a few.
It was within the last like 3 or 4 sessions that I went from having like 6 up to having like 16 by the time we got to this session, right? So it was just right here at the end.
4 to go. Well, this one has bandits.
Mm. Yeah, it does.
It has 25 bandits in it.
Yeah, it does.
We pop 25. Open the door, and Tots is just giggling.
And like,
because you guys have blocked me at every turn on killing these bandits, and like you can't get them all, man. There's too damn many. It's like Harry Potter and the Hogwarts letters, and they're flying all over the place. And I just want to go, and you want to lock me under the stairs. Anyway,
I do. Well, so here's the deal. Like, it's always been a little tongue in cheek funny. Like, usually you're going after bandits, and like, usually what happens is somebody does this big awesome AOE attack. The bandits get caught up in there, and then they accidentally kill them, right?
Yep.
And it's kind of funny, you know, but like, it's very rarely has it been like, I'm actually trying to screw you over on these. But now we're to the point where it's like, we're finishing up next scenario, and the chances of you retiring here are so good that like, and I know Skip and Steve are going to be nice guys and holding back. And I'm like, I just like, we're getting ready to do the last fight. And like, we're going to have to sit around while you build out
after,
a completely
after
new character.
This scenario is the final boss.
So my goal in life was to kill 22 bandits in this scenario with my berserker. Like, anything I could do to make that possible, I was going to go for it.
Didn't we realize that like Tots would always, because he was so fast, he would go out and dish like 95% of the damage to everything?
Yeah,
yes. And then off. Like, you really didn't have a chance but to kill them because like they had so few hit points left.
That's my problem, is I could never finish it on a turn, you know?
Yeah. The only way you could is if you just used your speed to go to like the last room before any of us could catch up with you.
Yeah.
And try to kill a few before you died.
So I was not happy with this whole situation, but we're gonna
I was enjoying it thoroughly.
I gave it my best effort, guys.
Yeah, you did. Zara anyway, was cutting down bandits left and right.
Yep.
I mean, that's really what this was. It was just Zara was being like a bandit lawnmower, trying to like keep up with Tots, and it just, she couldn't.
You spill a bag of potato chips in the kitchen, the dogs run in, and you're like trying to, you're not going to get them all. You're just not.
Yep.
Anyway, so yeah, basically it's 3 rooms full of bandits. We're trying to kill them. There was some living spirits for some reason there as well. We had some a cave bear on our side. There would have been more allies if we were less people. But our cave bear had a mental disability, and he doesn't really do anything. He does not move for like 4 turns.
He tried so hard. He was a good boy.
Was that Serac?
Probably so. Anyway, let's kill some bandits and we'll see how many herd gets.
I'm not saying like me and Skip didn't get some kills, but we...
No, like everyone was getting mad bandits this session. Like there was no way around it.
But, like, even Maytal was pitching in with some bandit kills.
Yeah.
But...
yeah.
And okay, every roll, that bear would roll like stand still and do nothing. Like it was so good.
The big thing here, though, there's 3 elite archers in the back of this first room, and
of course,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bandit guards in front. So, like, we needed to get back there and start wiping up those archers.
Yeah, we got hit by some of those like dual target shots.
Which
that one stung a little bit.
Double attacks on everybody from multiple things in the first room is a real good way to up the difficulty of a scenario. Like, it hurts. But yeah, I think Herd got a couple kills here. I was able to get a big AOE out. I think Brittany did her Kamehameha in here, if I recall correctly. We divvied up the body count pretty evenly in this first room.
Yeah,
I would say. And again, like, they're bandits. The archers were annoying, but like, we're gonna kill us bandits, right? Like, they're not. We've been killing bandits since scenario one. They're not stopping us now.
No. No, and I'm just stabbing everything in an absolute Spartan bloodlust. But
there's a lot of kills leaving like one hit point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of a free for all. Everybody for themselves. Room two had, I don't know, still a bunch of freaking bandits. It's just, I mean, we just like pour into the room. Things are dying left. Things are dying right. The bear's still not moving in this first room.
Bless his heart.
I mean, he had a big meal. He was resting.
Yeah. I believe after that second room. Oh, there was also a living spirit in that room that was an elite. I forget where the living spirits even played into this whole scenario. The living spirits were enemies to everybody. So that did kind of make things interesting. Hopefully the living spirit got itself a bandit kill too.
It's only fair. I think the bear might be the only one who didn't, but that's okay.
Poor guy. So yeah, there was that. And then the final room, going into the final room, I think, her, didn't you still need like one kill in the final room?
Yes. Cause I remember that mad dash.
Yep.
Which, I mean, there's nine of them in there, right? So I could only do so much, guys.
That's when Casey's shoulders slumped because he realized he wasn't going to be able to stop it.
And at that point, it's like, you know what? I will burn cards if that's what it takes to make this happen.
And it did. I mean, like, I still did what I could, but I think you ended up with like one or two more than you needed when it was all said and done.
And considering how many there were, it was way closer than it should have been.
It was a valiant effort, Casey.
I appreciate that. I really, really tried. Like, if it was any other, like, if we're going into any other scenario, I'd be like, yeah, sure, whatever. Go for it, man. You do you. But
I should hope so.
You say that, but you've blocked it every time.
Not to this extent. Like, this took true effort. True.
It was a much more directed.
And so I retire.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. I feel like it was the one thing I can take pleasure in, though, was the way I see this playing out is we trade in the scoundrel because we know we're about to go fight the boss of bosses, and there's only – who are you going to call in that situation?
Charles.
He's in charge. Now, did we give the disclaimer for Charles at the top?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Yeah, we did. So feel free to discuss about that. I guess real quick.
There wasn't a lot
as we
to
all
say,
sit around for 15 or 20 minutes while he figures out what that's going to do.
I do not believe it was that long because
it was like five.
Yeah. Like by the time the new map was set up, I was pretty much good to go because I don't put much thought into the cards I pick in the first place.
We know. And
like this was the final boss. So
proof of that.
Yes. Oh my God.
So I guess the one thing that actually made it feel like we all, at least I did, like, so we started looking over the final boss, and like I realized I have to rebuild my entire character for this scenario.
Yep. Yeah. Same here.
Just because he was immune to a lot of things, and we were taking damage every turn,
and he had like 180 health, something like that.
It was in the 180s.
So I mean, I found as much just direct damage, you know, and just went for it.
Oh yeah,
I just needed a deck to last for a one-on-one boss fight. So that's not that hard to put together, right?
Yeah, because there was no support creatures for him. It was literally just him.
Yep, it was just him. But like, he dealt 2 damage to all this every turn, and he just had a bunch of hit points. He had some really nasty special abilities.
He didn't stick around long, though.
He did not stick around long. It was us versus him, guys. Yeah. Like, I built Zara into the glassiest of glass cannons, and we just went.
Yeah, dude, you were just a deck of burn cards that round.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
But to huge effect. You dealt like 110 damage.
It was 108 damage over 4 turns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so it was that. It was. Skip my had focus plus was one like, attack up.
Yeah, and I was putting Doom counters on to give extra attack and stuff like that, just trying to...
I was running my curse loop.
Yeah,
yep. It was...
Did you have any crits in that, or was that just straight damage?
There were no crits, no.
No.
Yeah, I didn't think there was. That's just
I'll give a rundown of kind of how that worked real quick. So I just went, ran straight up to the dude, and I used the movement card that gave me Bless, and then I played a card that took me – So I dealt damage equal – I did an attack equal to my total hit point value that I was currently at, and then – so I was doing an attack 26 with advantage. That took me to one hit point. Then I – I was able to then kind of put up an ability that, I used a card to play a third card. I could use a bottom. And so that let me, basically it said the next three times you would die, you take no damage instead. So then I was able to play a card the next turn that was dealt damage equal to the difference between my current hit point total, which was like one, and my maximum. So I did another attack 25 with advantage. Then I think Skip gave me an extra attack at some point. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up playing a card that was a loss that just returned all my hit points. And so at this point I'd already lost four cards, I think, in three turns. And then I played another attack in that hit. It was like an attack 8 that got in there the next turn that, just from all the buffs. So like, yeah, it worked out really. It was just kind of a blood fury there.
I pulled up my inner herd and got the treasure before jumping into the fight with you.
Yeah. Well, and at the time, we're like, Treasure Chest has got to have something like this. This is going to be such a tough fight. He's got so many hit points and we're just taking damage every turn. Like there's got to be something good in there.
This will be the sword of the Gloom Slayer or some shit, right?
Yeah. This was a Star Earring.
Yeah.
So was the Gloom supposed to move at all? Like during this?
He could have, but I just stood right in front of him and was taking his attack like 16s or whatever it was. Yep.
There wasn't a card that said go to some other point or whatever and just teleport like some of the others we've fought.
He just never pulled those. Yeah, he didn't get a chance to pull them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
we kind of jacked him up pretty bad. Yeah.
Four or five turns, guys. Four or five turns to get through the 180 whatever hit points.
Yeah. But it was a fitting end because we've been working. Like this is a group other than my brand new character, but like, real grizzled veterans and like they're just exhausted. They've been fighting bullshit for 6 months and they finally find the cause out and they're just like, oh, you're fucking dead. Like,
you know what would have been great? Gloom dies and just 10 oozes pop out.
Oh my God. And then it says Matthew G. Summers.
Yeah. We definitely went out on a high note. This game's done a really good job. I feel like with boss fights, even though a number of them we've kind of steamrolled through just because you are able to burn so many cards. Like,
yeah,
most of them are pretty interesting. Like they're doing something pretty interesting with them. They've all been fun to do.
Well, I mean, we've also been kind of doing that like RPG game equivalent of min-maxing our characters.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, I know I sure shit have with Brittany.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, guys, that's a wrap for the old Gloomhaven. Now we can always go back. There are certainly some side quests we never did. We could bust it back out from time to time and play.
There's the random scenario generator.
Yeah, we should definitely probably try that at some point. Just see how it goes. Isaac will be releasing another 10 scenario thing at some point. We've got an expansion on the way. I'm sure there will be more Gloomhaven in our future, but.
Oh yeah,
this is a good point to take a bit of a breather for a little while, try some other stuff out.
And we'll probably come back, have a nice spoiler cast and just discuss all things on the table.
I think so.
I think that would be good. And we've talked about this before, but we're also in the process of working on a new tabletop show. This will be video based. It'll be on the YouTubes and kind of look out for that.
More as that develops.
Yeah, that is news that at is, 11. An undertaking. It's taken a long time to make that good. So if anyone has like $1 million video studio, by the way, that you would just let us have, that would speed things up a lot.
It would. It would certainly do that.
Yeah.
We will mention it on the show once or twice.
At least. Yeah.
A minute.
Steve will cook for you?
Sure.
Yeah, hell yeah.
come by, eat some food. You're invited to the barbecue. Yeah, this was good. This was a crazy 6-7 months. How long has it been?
We'll save that for the wrap up session.
Yeah.
It's been good. Skip. There will be a wrap up session. We need you for that. So suicide watch.
In effect.
Until yeah.
I'm playing another campaign, so it's all good.
Okay. Good. Good.
I hope they are able to screw your turns up as much as we were.
I still feel it with our other games, so it's not a big deal. Yeah, it wouldn't be a day without that.
Yeah. When does your second group start?
No, I was just kidding. I'm not doing it. I'm thinking about buying.
I legitimately believe that. Son.
Like you know, Brent's starting up a group, right?
Yeah. I think this one was enough. With what we got going on next, I don't want to kill my time. So
we're irreplaceable. I hear you. Yep.
All right. Pretty much. You know, once you've had the best, we've had a lot of fun doing this. We would love to still hear from you. You know, Twitter at GPub Radio, Facebook Gamer Public Radio, MisadventuresPodcast.com, and more fun things in the future. And if you have any cool ideas for stuff you'd like to see from us in the future, we would like to hear that too, because not always the most creative. So, you know, ideas are great, but thanks for, you know, spending your time with us and
taking this journey with us.
Yep.
I would like to see a Skip Gets Payback session, but you know, whatever.
Is that where you just like stab us and we're dead?
Pretty much.
Yeah. No, but actual stabbing.
And the police have to investigate.
I should probably save that for the video series.
Yes.
You've been listening to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. Please join us every Friday for new episodes at misadventurespodcast.com or find us on your podcast application of choice. Music for this podcast is provided by Kevin McLeod. For more of Kevin's work, please check out incompetech.com. See you next time.